Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there after a big weekend of football, including the Eagles 34, the Packers 29, a 1-0 start to the season. All right, so we've had all a couple days to digest this. Midday show coming up today, 10-2 on WIP. I was on Saturday morning with Howard Eskin and Hugh Douglas. We were breaking down the game a little bit. We've all had a couple days to really kind of think through what we saw on Friday night with the Packers and the Eagles. So I wanted to hit you today with 10 rapid-fire takes, thoughts, reactions that are they're still top of mind for me, that are just like that I've been thinking about for 2 days now, kind of marinating on these thoughts. Rapid fire style. I've got 10 of them. So let's get into them. Number one, and it's first and it's foremost, and it's something I did not anticipate over the course of a full season. Now, if you asked me, do I think you could have done it once, twice? Yes. Over a full season, I wasn't expecting it, but we only have one game to go off of. And that one game, Saquon Barkley looked like an absolute difference maker. He slipped on his first play of the game. Slippery field, he slipped. And after that, guy averaged 5 yards a carry. He was electric in the run game, showed burst, showed shiftiness, strength. The catch out of the backfield on the wheel route for the touchdown was a thing of beauty. We haven't seen an Eagles running back do that in a very long time. Saquon Barkley looked like the kind of running back you pay. He looked like the kind of football player that helps you win a game when other things are not going your way. He was their best player on offense on Friday night, and they have great players. They have a special wide receiver. They have another outstanding wide receiver. They have a tremendous right tackle. They have a one of the highest paid guards ever. I mean, this team has a lot of offensive talent, and yet I thought on Friday the best player on the field when the Eagles had the football was Saquon Barkley, really at all times. I was so impressed with Saquon Barkley in his first game as an Eagle. The first Eagle to score 3 touchdowns in an opener in his first game as an Eagle since Terrell Owens in 2004. We know where that season ended and how great of a player Owens was in 2004. Saquon off to a special offensive player of the year kind of start in his first game in an Eagles uniform. Our takeaway number two is Jalen Hurts needs to wake up as a decision maker. I want to make sure I'm fair. He made some clutch plays down the stretch. He made some big throws. The throw to Barkley in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown was a great throw. Getting the ball out in space to AJ, nice throw deep. I thought he handled the blitz really well. I think it was a throw to AJ on the left side to where the blitz was coming off from a D-back on the right side, and he knew it was coming. And Jalen stood in there, and he got popped as he threw that football. And he stood strong. He stood tall. He did not fear the hit. And he threw a strike on the outside. He was better, much better against the blitz. So all that stuff is fair to point out. But as a decision maker, he has to get better. Because he threw 2 interceptions. They were both egregious. He could have thrown 2 more. And there was also a pair of fumbles. Now, how much was that the fumbles his fault? I don't know. The first one was probably not his fault, as he wasn't even looking. The ball was hitting him in the arm. The second one was an exchange with Cam Jurgens on the tush push. So I'm going to give him grace on the fumbles, but I'm not giving him grace on the interceptions, especially the 2 others he almost threw. And if you go now back a ways, beginning with Super Bowl 58, okay, beginning with Super Bowl 58, at the end of his third season, Jalen Hurts now has thrown 17 interceptions and fumbled 12 times in his last 20 starts. In Jalen Hurts' last 20 starts, he has 17 picks and 12 fumbles. It's way, way, way too careless with the football for a franchise quarterback who's paid as much money as Jalen Hurts. It just is. He's got to be better. He has to take care of the football way better if the Eagles are going to be as good as we want them to be. He's got to be better. So my second takeaway is Jalen Hurts got to be a better decision maker. And what's frustrating about this is he was built to us, and we watched him develop as a really good decision maker. It was my favorite part of Jalen Hurts' game as a young player, that he protected the football. He may not have had the physical attributes of other guys, but he wouldn't put you in harm's way. He wouldn't hurt you. And now he has begun to hurt the Eagles with his decision making. That's got to stop immediately. Another Jalen Hurts takeaway. His legs just might be shot now. I've been pointing this out for a while. You know, he has over 1,100 carries from Alabama to Oklahoma to the pros. When running backs get this many carries, we say they're done. Jalen Hurts is not a running back. He's a quarterback. But as a runner, that burst is gone. Now, he had a couple good runs late, opportunistic runs late to move the chains. It physically can still run you over when he wants to, as he did on that one to move the chains for a first down late in the game. That was the old Steve McNair, you know, comparison I had for Jalen a couple years ago. He still reminds me of Steve McNair a lot. But as a runner, in terms of getting the corner, getting away from defensive ends, he's not turning up the field. You watched Jaden Daniels run yesterday. You watch Lamar Jackson run a couple nights ago in the season opener against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, that's dynamic running from the quarterback position. And Jalen doesn't feel that way right now. Stuck in mud more than dynamic. And last year, you said, well, he's coming off an ankle surgery in the offseason. Well, he had the knee issue during the year. Well, what's happened on Friday in Brazil? We got to blame the field. I guess another week not recognizing what seems to be there for eyes to see, which is Jalen has lost a step as a runner. All right, takeaway number four. Zach Bond looked like an all-pro. That was as good of a linebacker performance by an Eagle as I've seen since Nigel Bradham in the Carolina game on the Thursday night in 2017. That was the night that the Eagles, it felt real, that they felt like they're the best team in the NFL. It's real now. Let's not, you know, pretend this isn't happening. This is happening in front of our eyes. Let's acknowledge it. That was that game. And the biggest part of their night on defense that night was the play of Nigel Bradham. He was awesome. He was awesome that night. And Zach Bond topped him the other night. 15 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 2 quarterback hits. That's as good of a linebacker game as you're going to watch anyone in the league play this year. I'm telling you, you're not going to see many linebackers. He's a linebacker. He's not an edge rusher. Now, he played edge rusher last year in New Orleans, and he has that capability. But this is a linebacker. And then he was even dropping back into coverage and altering the route of the receiver in the play where Blankenship made the pick. I mean, this is big-time linebacker play. We had Zach Bond on during training camp. I was a fan. Thought he was really – had a good time with us on the air. He's a good guy, hard worker, and – you know, this might be one of the better underrated signings of the offseason in the NFL. If he could be anything close to this, it's star level play. You know, number 53 in an Eagles uniform. You know, Hugh Douglas might have some competition, because that might be the best game we've seen out of one in a very, very long time. That was all pro kind of performance there out of Zach Bond on Friday night. Takeaway number 5. You know what? Quinyon looked like the real deal. Quinyon Mitchell, starting as a rookie, first game, I thought he looked the part. He had one play where he was lost in the wash, and they threw it over his head. He had the one penalty. But other than that, I was very impressed. Sticky coverage, physical. He's got an attitude about him, which I like. And they went after him early in the game down the left sideline. They threw the ball to Christian Watson, and he's right there. Watson is one of the fastest receivers in the NFL, and that's big-time corner play. You know, for the first time in 2 decades, the Eagles may have landed and drafted something, you know, long-term and really, really important at the corner position. Quinyon Mitchell is a player. I mean, sometimes with certain players, you don't know where their future is going to go. You know, you don't know about injuries. You don't know about all this kind of stuff. And sometimes there's late bloomers and you think you know and you're wrong. But once in a while, you see something positive and you say, he's good. Like, he's a player. And Quinyon Mitchell, the way I viewed that game on Friday, he's a player. I mean, that was big time football to Quinyon Mitchell for the Philadelphia Eagles on Friday night. All right, takeaway number, where are we at? We had Saquon, a pair of Hurts. We had number 6 is Avante Maddox is cooked. Avante Maddox is cooked. His numbers last year, his advanced numbers, were not good when you factored in his coverage statistics last year. They just weren't good. And he missed so much time. I think it was easy to say, well, you know, he was banged up and he wasn't right. He didn't play that much. So can you define him based on what he did last year? Well, then you watch him on Friday night against the Packers. They picked on him. They picked on him. They went after him, as you would expect they would for a player that has lost, I think, a few steps from where he was a few years ago. And the quicker the Eagles recognize this, the better off they're going to be. The quicker they get him off the field, the better off they're going to be. And the quicker Cooper DeJean is ready to assume that role, the better off the Eagles are going to be. Or, you know, or I suppose Isaiah Rodgers coming back. And then, of course, Quinyon can move back inside the way he was playing at training camp. That could be another way they could approach this. But whatever the however they do this, they need to get Avante Maddox off the field, because the Eagles were lucky to escape a game where they got torched for big plays as often as they did. They allowed 7.1 yards per play. That's an abysmal number. It was the worst of the 20 of the 30 teams that played so far. Nobody had a number worse than 30. In the 30 teams, nobody had a worse number than 7.1 yards per play allowed. And a lot of that was because of Avante Maddox, and they really picked on him. He can't be out there against good wide receivers. And the Packers had a good group, and they took advantage of him. I don't think the next few groups are going to be quite as deep as the Packers, but, you know, we'll see what the Falcons do in their second game. They looked very choppy in their first game, losing to the Steelers. They played a good defense. Then they're going to go to New Orleans, and maybe New Orleans isn't as bad as everyone thought they were going to be, and they'll face Derek Carr there in the dome. And then they'll go to Tampa. Baker looked very good yesterday, albeit against a young and trying to figure themselves out defense in Washington. But Baker looked good, and they got Evans, and they got Godwin and all that. So these are tests now. Avante did not pass the first test. I wouldn't keep giving him a test. I'd get him off the field as quickly as I possibly could. All right, let's go to takeaway number 7. Bryce Huff, totally invisible. I mean, you can't have a more invisible game as a pass rusher in the NFL than Bryce Huff did. He was out there barely. He got outstepped on pass rush downs by Brandon Graham. He didn't get anywhere near the quarterback. The Bryce Huff experiment through 1 week is a dud. I mean, it is an absolute and total dud through week one. It doesn't feel to me like that's an impact player. It just doesn't. You know, you watch him and it's like, is he beating the tackle? Is he overpowering the tackle? Is he running around the tackle? I don't know what he's doing, but it just felt like they let him keep going upfield and he had no plans to go get the quarterback. It was, for as great as Saquon was and for as great as Zach Bond was, this was the total opposite in terms of impact by a high profile free agent signing of the offseason. And let's not forget, they paid Bryce Huff a lot of money. They paid Bryce Huff more than Saquon Barkley. I mean, and that's positional value in the NFL. Of course, the young pass rusher is going to make more than the seventh year running back on the free agent market. I get that. But you watch the game on Friday, like, wait a second. That guy is supposed to be better than that guy. That guy is supposed to be worth more money than that guy. And that guy is Bryce Huff. And the other that guy is Saquon Barkley. It just doesn't add up. Bryce Huff was really a mess. And I don't think the tackles for the Packers are particularly great. It's not like, you know, they have prime David Bakhtiari over there. That's not what they've got. So, you know, Zach Tom, this is what shut down Bryce Huff. And I don't want to hear about the field. I mean, everyone's dealing with the field. The field is the same for everybody at this point. So I just thought it was a very poor showing by Bryce Huff in his first game as a Philadelphia Eagle. Number 8 is Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith is tough as nails, and he is such a good wide receiver. He has exceeded my expectations so far. I was very skeptical of Devontae. You might remember coming out of Alabama, not because I did think he could play. I just thought of his size. It's an outlier for him to hold up in the NFL and play at a high level. And he's held up. He has played at a very high level. He is a really good football player. I really enjoy watching the play. I've come to really appreciate what he does out there. And he's tough, man. They're throwing him in traffic, and he's throwing onto the football, bouncing off people, making people miss. And the efficiency to his, you know, catch to target ratio was wild. Eight targets, 7 receptions, and he made some big ones down the stretch. He wasn't the big play home run guy in this game. That was AJ, and that, of course, was Saquon, but very efficient, very important, very impressed with Devontae Smith on Friday night. Number 9 in the big rapid-fire takeaways off the game is, if you were someone in the camp that these coordinators can make a big difference, well, you're feeling good today, 1-for-1, because I thought both coordinators, it offensively just looks better, it looks smarter, it looks more NFL than we saw last year. A lot of motion. So Kellen Moore's offense used motion on, I think it was 48 of 73 plays. That's good for 75% or so. Last year, Nick Sirianni used motion in his scheme, and Brian Johnson at 35.1%, the lowest in the league. So they went from 35.1% to 65.8%. It was 65.8. 48 out of 73 is 65%. So they jumped 30% basically in motion percentage, and it was their highest single game motion mark since 2020 for the Eagles this year. And Jalen Hurts, by the way, way better with motion than without. With motion, Hurts, 15 of 21 for 212 yards, 2 touchdowns, okay? And the other side of that was without motion, he was 5 of 13 for 66 yards and the 2 interceptions. So without motion, was a disaster. With motion, very, very effective and efficient, and boom, the points went on the board. So that was the difference for Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense with and without the motion on Friday. And I thought the Vic Fangio effect was, look, it wasn't pretty. They gave up a lot of yards, big plays. Mistakes were made out there. But a couple of things that Vic Fangio's defense did, I was impressed by. The red zone defense, the Packers were 1 of 4 in the red zone. And the takeaway, which they didn't have last year. They didn't have takeaways last year. They only had 11 interceptions the entire season. That play, they disguised, they bluffed where the pressure was coming from. Then Zach Bond off the edge dropped all the way across the middle of the field to cover the tight end coming off the other side, kind of rerouted him a little bit and allowed Reed Blankenship to come over and make the interception. So I was impressed with those kind of little details by Vic and Kellen Moore, just the design and the 2024 pro offense we saw was just so much different than last year, whatever the heck that was, offensively. My 10th and final takeaway, and you could take this any way you want to take it. You could take this to be like, here we go again, or you could take it as a good thing because there's only places to grow now. It's not November. This was a 2023 Eagles victory. The Eagles won a lot of games like this in 2023. They were outgained on Friday night. The Packers had more yards than the Philadelphia Eagles. There's elements you feel like the other team gave the game away with drops, with penalties, tons of penalties by the Green Bay Packers, with red zone inefficiency. But the bottom line is the Eagles won. Now, last year, it kept happening. And you could win a game or two like this or three each season, and that propels you to 12 wins instead of 9 or 11 wins instead of 8. That's the NFL. So there's no reason to apologize for that. The Eagles just made a living off it last year. They won all their games this way, and that means you're that good of a football team. Are the Eagles that good? Are they that great? We're going to find out. We're going to find out in time. But the first game certainly reminded me and felt like the 2023 Eagles in a lot of ways, the way they won, especially that they were outgained. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, WIP Daily. We will talk soon. Thank you so much for listening.